Well, we're in James chapter 4, and this is the one section, two verses that I would like to not have to preach on, and I kind of smile, but I told my family last night, it's just wearying passage, but at the same time, the joy is unspeakable, too. Yesterday was a pretty hard day, things that I don't like to have to do, but had to do them, and so I was tired, and then I hit this text, and I'm lifted up by the conviction of the Holy Spirit when it comes to slander. Chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 have to do with that, and James has been all over these believers about their speech. Probably in our lives as Christians, there's very few areas that we struggle in more than when it comes to our words, the way we, not just what we say, but how we say it. There's a whole lot said sometimes even without words. You ever heard of halo data? If you're talking to someone, you're counseling them, you're trying to listen to someone, you know, you're watching what they do, their body language explains a whole lot about what they're trying to say. And we all know how that is, don't we? You know, I can say, "How are you doing?" You can say, "How are you, Jim?" "Fine." Or, "How are you doing, Jim?" "Fine." And I turn my, and I won't even look at you. You would know something's the matter. Well, slander is even more sinister than that, because it's, if I attacked you with words when we're with each other, that's one thing. At least you know what's being said, but slander is one of those awful sins that it happens when we destroy someone's, or at least we start to erode someone's character and their dignity, and they're not even there to defend themselves. And James is after this church and after these believers, and I think the Spirit of God's after us today when it comes to our language and how we speak, and especially when it comes to slander. And we'll talk about this week, and I think it'd be good to do it next week as well. I think we'll go at it a little bit different. Today we'll look at several verses throughout Scripture that will help us to think about why slander is so evil in God's eyes. But let's pray first. Father in heaven, we need your help, especially in this area when it comes to our speech. Your word tells us out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And our words say a whole lot about who we really are. And I pray that you would help us when we think about how we speak about others. And I know that I'm guilty of slandering and never even really thought about it too much. But, Father, I pray that for each of us, that you would work into us what you would desire so that we could grow up and become more like Jesus Christ, who would be those that would build one another up, and that we would speak well regarding others, and help us, though, also to have wisdom to know when it's the right time to confront and how we're to confront when there is sin. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, James is, I think we're in that section where he's still talking to those that considered themselves able to rebuke others, and they found themselves putting themselves in a position to be those that could offer a word of admonition, a word of correction. And what we're getting, our understanding would be, those that would be presuming to be teachers or masters of morality, seeing them putting themselves in that position to be judging other people in the church, that not too many of them should be carrying on doing that, because one of the issues, several of the issues he talks about, of course, is how they live, for one, and how they would speak, another, but how they have their, he points out the problem with these masters of morality is that they can't control their tongue. They don't know how to use it. They got like this, a great deal of knowledge, perhaps, but they are not able to rein that tongue in when it comes to how they speak to other people. And he used all kinds of examples. I like the one about the great forest is set on fire by a small spark, and it compares the tongue to a small spark. Last week we talked about, in the last two messages were on worldly wisdom, and how there is a certain amount of speech that is used by these masters of morality, and the message even goes to the whole church, that where there's worldliness, there's going to be weakness within that person causing them to be, they need to be thinking about their own life rather than going out looking after other people and trying to get their lives in order, get their own life in order. But we ended last week on verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. We didn't spend a lot of time on that, but I think that though it's a small verse in this passage, it's one of the most important verses in all of James. Humble yourself before the Lord or under the Lord, and he will lift you up. Those that oftentimes see their job as correcting everybody else, and they don't look at their own life, they need to take that to heart. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Part of the problem of those masters of morality, and any of us when we start critiquing other people's lives and judging them, and we're not really interested in their repentance, we're not really interested in them growing in the Lord so much as we are interested in maybe putting ourselves in a superior position, when we do that, we're trying to lift ourselves up, exalt ourselves. This passage that tells us, humble yourself before the Lord, is to allow God to promote you. One of the most important lessons any of us can learn is this: promotion comes from the Lord. So when we lift ourselves up or we try to exalt ourselves, we can be sure of this: at some point we will falter and fail. But when God exalts a person, they can enjoy that exaltation if he chooses to do it in whatever manner he chooses to do it. And we can do that with a clear conscience, enjoy that exaltation with a clear conscience, knowing we're undeserving of it, for sure. But one of the key aspects when it comes to humbling ourselves before the Lord is to understand this: when we're humble before God and humble before one another, it prevents us from looking down on other people. That's what slander begins to reveal about us. We have this air of superiority, and you might not think that that's the case, but as I think about myself, every time I've ever talked about someone or talked behind their back in a way that degrades them, it is a desire for me to exalt myself and put them down. Now, usually people that you like and you get along well with, you don't have any problems. You can speak well about them, but ones that you find to have aspects of their life you don't like, it's real easy to look down upon them. And slander is one of those things. We've Christianized slander. We know ways that we can talk about other people. I'm concerned about so-and-so and their behavior. And, you know, why, just the other day I heard them say such-and-such. And, you know, the scripture tells us that that's dangerous. And the things they were thinking and doing, and problem with that is the scripture tells us what we're to do when we recognize a sin or we're questioning if there is a sin in a brother or sister's life, and that is to either pray for them or to at least go to them in private and talk to them rather than go tell other people. Because what's at the heart of Christianizing slander is sin. If we replaced the word slander with the word devil, it would be a fair substitution. The word's not the same in every case, but devil means slanderer. And when we slander, we're doing the work of the devil. And James gets on, he says, brothers, do not slander one another. And that's a very clear statement. Do not do it. Anyone who speaks against a brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. We're going to have to look at that. We'll spend more time in that next week. What that means: when you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So let's just focus in on the slandering part of it today, and we'll look at several scriptures that teach us a little bit about slander. But when it has to say, do not do it, what's that tell you is happening in this church? Slander is happening. If you don't have to command people not to do something if they're not doing it. Right? So James is on top of it. He says, brothers, do not slander one another. Don't slander one another. Don't speak against one another. Don't speak evil. Because it's one thing, when we think about speaking against one another, you got to keep in mind it's speaking evil. Now the title of the message is Stop Slandering, Start Eulogizing. Because as I looked at this, speak evil, what's the opposite of speak evil? Speak good, right? Good speak. Good speak is the word eulogy. Where we get the word eulogy in the Greek is where we would get the words good speak. It doesn't sound very good if you're at a funeral and you say, well, so-and-so is going to come up and give the good speak now. They use that old word eulogy. But it's very important for us to think about that. Slandering is evil speak, speaking evil against someone, and we're called to do good speak. And we'll look at a verse in 1 Peter that teaches us that later on. But do not speak evil against one another. It ought to cause us to scratch our head, then that means that we're supposed to speak good. But James is not one that necessarily always points out to what we ought to do. He's telling them to stop doing this, and he uses a pretty convincing argument when it comes to stop doing it, because who of you wants to judge God? Do you realize that slandering, if we go ahead and do it, we're saying that we know what's the very best, and God doesn't. God is wrong on this particular law. And we'll speak more about that next week. But slandering is always involves another person. I don't know that you can really slander someone if you just speak in the air. But slandering always involves another person. I go to someone else and I start telling them, talking about another person in that person's absence. It always involves words that the person would no doubt like to be able to at least have a hearing on to defend themselves. Slander always involves two people, and the person that's being talked about is usually not there. It's not slander if a person's right there. They can defend themselves. But slandering, if you think about what is evil speak, it's insulting language. It's degrading language. It's language that tears down and destroys. It's maligning someone. It's malicious talk. There's a desire to injure. Malice is one of those sins where there's intent to injure, a malicious act, and slander has to be thought about in that those terms, that when I slander someone, I'm maligning someone, I'm injuring their reputation. You may say, yeah, but it's true, I'm not really slandering. Well, as Christians, we're called to confront one another. If we're truly in the faith, we're called to confront one another. In Matthew 18, for instance, we're told that. If your brother sins, go to him privately and tell him. I talk with too many people that are like me. They've got into a lot of trouble because they didn't go talk to the person that they had a problem with, and it's better to do that. But slander is happening. They're maligning one another. To what extent, I don't know. But it's not uncommon for them. It wasn't uncommon for them to live that way because that's the way of the world. We need only to watch the news in this political time of the year, and the words that are spoken want just slander flying all over the place. And it's in good political fun, right? It's still slander. I hate that because I like to badmouth those politicians myself. So I'm thinking that probably I ought to be careful. But James is speaking in context of the church. There's no more damaging place for slander to happen than within the church. We all have this problem as a general rule. Each of us have it, if not always, but at various times have struggled with that. And there's always a tendency to talk negative. It's kind of the way of Americans. It's the world's way to look at the dark side of everything, to find the bad in other people. It's kind of a Christianized aspect of life, too, that we always critique everything and find what's at fault. And James warned the church, or Jude warned the church about those within the church that were fault finders. He was telling them, Jude was writing to them, he said, look at these false teachers. They're also to be recognized as those who are fault finders. They're always finding fault in everybody else. Well, none of us wants to live like an unbeliever. But when we slander one another, we're looking for fault in other people. We're usually a slanderer, someone who's hunting for things to accuse someone else of or to judge someone else. Do you remember in the book of Zechariah when you have I think it was, who was it? Zerubbabel and Joshua. Joshua the priest called before the Lord, and the devil was there too, the slanderer, the accuser of the brethren. And all he could do was to just run his mouth constantly, picking at and finding fault with Joshua. And he was told, the Lord rebuke you. And he was told to be quiet. And remember that, because slandering was not permitted in the presence of God. Slandering should not be permitted in your life at all. And that's the way of the world, but it's not God's way, to be sure, to be certain about that. The world promotes slander. So tell me what you know. You ever watch Jerry Springer back in the day? I don't even know if he's still on TV or not. But I was working at a customer's house, and they had their TV going, and it was all those shows during the day, and it was just sickening to hear. I was so happy to hear I was finally offended by something on television. But just the negativity and the bad speak, the evil speak, was more than I could bear. But they're living out what the world encourages. The world encourages venting. Venting is unbiblical. If I'm just venting my anger about someone or with someone, towards someone, that is sin. Proverbs 29:11 tells us the fool gives full vent to his anger. And this anger doesn't, you know, we're not talking only about just getting mad, but it's an anger that expresses itself in harsh words, words that tear down. And this is also speaking about blowing up in front of someone and taking it out on them, of course, but it also carries in, we have to consider that venting our frustration with someone else without them being, that person we're venting toward not being there, is sin. The wise man brings calm in the end, the verse goes on to say. So slander is not a small thing. I'm very much convicted about this because of how easy it is for me, and maybe you struggle in the same way, to put myself in a position of speaking against someone. And that is, there's no other way to put it except to remind us all, to be reminded, it's sin. And we would do well to stop me. And I'd do well to stop you if we're slandering someone else. Most of us put slander at the bottom of a list of sins, that it's not that important. But God says it's very, very important. It's a very wicked sin. And why would that surprise us? Because if the devil means slanderer or the accuser of the brethren, then slander ranks up there as one of the heights of rebellion against God. And that's what James is getting at in those verses, the rest of the two verses 11 and 12, when he speaks about, why does he bring the law in on this? Why does he bring this whole aspect about judging the law and you're not keeping the law and you're sitting in judgment on it? Because that's what the devil is all about. Slander, ultimately, from the devil, is against God, maligning the character of God. Slander, when we slander another brother or sister, is putting ourselves in a position of looking down upon one that God Himself has saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But we can't put slander at the bottom of the list. The Bible shines a lot of light on it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. I like this verse. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. It's interesting that brawling and slander are put right together. A slanderous heart, having that slanderous spirit, is like having a brawling spirit. You've got to admit it. If you start slandering someone, you really are looking for a fight. Whether you're really wanting to get caught or not, you know the words you're saying would incite someone's temper. And so slander, Paul groups it together, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. But he puts slander right in there with bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, and every form of malice. To eviscerate someone's character is what slander truly is. To slice it up and to cut it up is what slander is all about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he writes, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. It's one thing if you just pop off and you go, well, that person just makes me sick, and here's why, blah, 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 blah. Hey, I shouldn't have done it. But then there's that subtle slander, as we've already talked about, comes across as being so concerned, so Christian. Yes. Oh, Jim, he's a good guy, but man, he's blah, and you just start burping out words. But avoid, turn it, rid yourself of it. And that's the thing. It doesn't just say stop doing it. Rid yourself of it, because it's in each one of us. This church will always be close-knit, I believe. But the one thing that can tear it apart quicker than anything is if we all would, if we just stop with, if we've started slandering. But we're told to rid yourself of it. It destroys the church. It destroys lives. Doug said it so well as he introduced the one song. Children have been ruined for life because of words that have been spoken when they were young. I can still remember some words that were spoken when I was a kid. Of course, I didn't know what one of them meant when I was little. I was sixth grade, and the teacher said, "You're the most conceited kid ever." I was like, "Wow, that's awesome." I had no idea what that word meant. I think I looked it up that summer. It's like, hey, she's probably right. Psalm 101, verse 5, but at least she told me to my face, though, anyway. Psalm 101, verse 5, whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, God says, him I will put to shame. I never thought about that. I never thought about how displeasing to God slander is. Slander displeases God big time. Because it's not his job to slander. He never will, but he's the Lord. It's his job to cause that person to grow up in Christ's likeness. You don't know where a person's at. We think we know. We can judge by external appearances. We don't know where they are along the line of sanctification where God's taking them. Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13, warn against speaking evil. Uses the word speaking evil. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says there are six things the Lord hates. It's the seventh that he abhors. And the seventh thing listed there, he that stirs up conflict among the brothers. And slander is just that. You want to know what is the stir stick for conflict? It's slander. And slandering is always sin. Always sin. Slander is not a private sin either. Worst thing about slander is it cuts and destroys someone's reputation. But do you realize at the same time you are cutting and ruining your reputation too? Now, if we realize we're a group of people that have at various times been guilty of slander, we have to also then remember that there's great repentance. God honors repentance. And God honors that kind of repentance whenever you catch me starting to slander. You just say, hey, you stop right there. What you're doing is not good. And it's a no judgment zone in the sense that you're just calling me on it. And I go, wow, I'm so embarrassed. You know, that's awful. I wish I wouldn't do that. Well, you know what? Let's pray about it. All of a sudden, it becomes extremely constructive. So I think I want us as a church to be open and honest with each other. And sometimes we are going to speak our mind, and it's going to be painful to hear, especially for me. If I hear myself slandering and you catch me in it, tell me. Don't do that. Peter talked in chapter 4 of 1 Peter about letting love cover a multitude of sins. And the question, a good question out of that, is your blanket of love big enough to cover the sins of another? That doesn't mean you don't go to them and talk about it, but to cover it, to protect their dignity. In other words, if I know of a brother or sister in sin, and I know it, rather, and is my blanket of love big enough to cover it, I think there's twofold. One, maybe I don't have to go talk to them if I can just let it go, but two, to protect their dignity. And remember, though, why I don't want to drag someone else into that sin of slander, as well, because most people are not strong enough to resist. If I start slandering someone, what usually happens? The person I'm talking to usually agrees or says something as, yeah, I know, just the other day, and now you got two people slandering. I don't want to drag someone down into filth, the filth of slandering. But the masters of morality were, I think, who James is primarily preaching to, writing to, as a pastor. But if you're reading this letter or you're going through it, you're going to be recognizing that he's also speaking to you. So the problem that we have here then is we can react the other way to the other side, to the other extreme, and say, so we never can point out someone else's sin. That's not the case. We'll talk more about it next week, but the fact remains, Jesus did say that if you see your brother in sin, go to him in private. I talk to too many people that they have not done that, and there's a lot of frustration. But those that have gone humbly before someone said, you know, I'm just curious about the attitude or the words that you spoke. Can you help me understand what you mean by that? And you know what? They might actually agree with you and say, yeah, I did do that. You know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Well, hey, let's work through it together. You know, I'm not going to abandon you. Okay, that's kind of helpful, because then you start thinking they're not against me, they actually are for me. A lot of times people refuse to ever come out of the closet of their sin because they think they're going to be flayed. And slandered and spoken against and brought up for judgment. And James isn't forbidding confronting sin, but he is talking about the spirit in which we do it. Nobody likes to be slandered. And it's so important that we remember that. So James is not against it. He's just saying, you guys that are doing this because you love to find fault in other people, stop doing this. Stop slandering. You can't keep putting yourself in God's place. You just can't do it. And I think it's important. Doug brought up, if you got your Bible out, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're about finished today. There's a few verses we can look at when it comes to how should we behave. And we'll talk about eulogy in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians 13. Because this comes down, James is talking about how we relate to one another. How we relate to one another determines our worship of God. We can't say we love God and yet hate our brother. We can't say we love God and want to malign our brother or sister. Nothing reeks of hypocrisy more than when we say we worship God, yet at the same time in our hearts know that we're just cutting someone to ribbons. From this point on in my life, I think I'm going to be desirous of confessing my sin before the Lord of slander before I would worship. And if I have to, confess my sin to the ones that I've hurt. Listen to what Paul has to say. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. The problem with slanders is, and in case of what James is talking about, these masters of morality, they loved to go around. They looked for an opportunity to rebuke someone. Anyone that is looking for fault in others disqualifies themselves from being one who would be an able teacher, an able master, one who would be able to give a word of admonition. If a person's looking for trouble, rest assured they'll find it. If you have not love, you're only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. The issue of slander is a matter of love. Do not think you truly love your brother or your sister if you're slandering them. You're actually hating them. Hate speech. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Oftentimes, and I think we've discovered this in James, the motivation of these masters of morality was birthed out of envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. These that Paul or James is writing to, I think there were many that delighted in the evil. I grew up in a neighborhood where we had a family that I couldn't wait to go over to their house because they had the latest dirt on somebody in the neighborhood. And it went down like chocolate chip cookies for me. It's like, that's a good one. You know anything else? I put myself in that environment because it was fun to hear the latest gossip. Do you realize that's evil speak? I was putting myself in a place of evil. The Bible says, deliver us from the evil one. Don't walk into the evil. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now listen to this. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, always protects. If you love someone, you protect their reputation. You don't destroy it. Stop slandering. You cut someone's reputation, you're not protecting that person. Even if it's true what they did. Nobody likes to have their sins exposed, especially by others. There's a time and place for everything. But if I sinned against Mike, or he sinned against me, it would not be appropriate for me to go tell everybody what he did against me. It would be appropriate for me to go to him and say, Mike, I really feel like you sinned against me. And him say, yeah, you know what, I was mad. I was offended by what you said or did or whatever it be. And then we could work it out. But that'd be he protected my reputation by not going to tell everybody what a jerk I was. You know, that kind of thing. And so I think it's important when we understand slandering is not loving. It hates. And I know this because if the devil is a slanderer, there is not one ounce of love in the devil. He doesn't even love evil. He's just pure evil. He does evil because he's evil. He doesn't think about it and go, you know, I'm going to do something evil today. He does what he does like a dog does what a dog does. The devil does what the devil does. And it's not loving. But love always protects, always trusts. Someone tells you something, if you don't buy it, you don't walk away and go, huh, you know, that person told me something. I just don't believe it. Slanderer. Don't just say, you know, I'm not buying it. And if they say, but I'm telling you, and you keep, you know, talk about it, then at some point you just got to say, okay, and let it go. Or keep working through it. But always perseveres. In other words, always chases after. Always keeps after. But do not slander one another. And finally, let's look at 1 Peter. It's just one word, but there are several verses surrounding that one word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I think we'll start at verse 8. I like how Peter writes to the church. He says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. These are things to be. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with eulogy, but with blessing. Eulogy. Don't repay insult with insult, but with good speak. Because of this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Another form of the word eulogy, but that blessing is from God. This, the other first blessing is speak good, good speak. And so the contrary to slander is good speak. So stop slandering and speak well. sometimes it can be a matter of you start to slander and go, whoa, in your mind, I'm going to stop there. And either don't say anything else or say, you know, I almost said something I shouldn't have said about so-and-so, so, you know, let's move on. Or, but one thing, speak well about people. I think you can figure that one out. And Paul writes, and I said one more, but there's just a couple of verses here in chapter 4 of Ephesians. When we think about how we are to speak one to another and how we ought to behave, you can't forget chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. That involves truthful communication back and forth. And it is with the intention of growing up, of maturity, growing up into the head, into Christ who is the head. So growing up in maturity. Words that build up. Within the church, though, we should have the most uplifting conversations. And that doesn't mean it's all got to be smiling, happy, and always, you know, just talking light, but words that build up and try to be edifying someone. And then finally, look what he says starting in verse 25 in chapter 4. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. If you don't handle problems and keep current on those problems, you're going to put yourself in a position to where you'll find it easy to slander. Old Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud, nip it, nip it, nip it. And most of us are chicken to nip it. And the problem then, when that happens, if you're not willing to nip it in the bud, the problem's not theirs, it's yours. Don't make it worse by slandering. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Slander usually involves unwholesome talk. You know what that word in Greek is, unwholesome? Spleen. Do not vent your spleen. I don't understand what that means, but if I said, do not puke on me, you would understand. Don't let your unwholesome talk just vomit out of your mouth. Put a lid on it. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of compassion. And here's the do. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Speak well. Stop slandering and start speaking well about others. Try. Bring that before the Lord. And Doug, come and lead us in the other two verses of that song. But think about it. It is a matter of saving one another's dignity. And we were real brief today, but I'm still working through it. I'm blessed that today happened the way it did, because this was extremely convicting to me. And I want to let the Lord work it out. But Doug, come and lead us in this invitation.